the oak.
I like that Faith hits that high note there. That's pretty cool. God! I can't hit that one. I tried. We had a little sort of practice thing for our worship ministry yesterday. Thanks to Josh coming up. It was pretty good. Here is your cell phone. And great. All right. So we had our little three-year anniversary thing out there at the park. Played some volleyball and relaxed. And that was cool. But now it's Father's Day. Okay. So the title of our sermon today, it comes from John chapter 14, is Jesus Comforts His Disciples. Now last week, if you're here, you got kind of challenged, to serve and love and give. And it was all like, hey, this is what you need to do. This week's sermon is, it's Father's Day, so it's kind of nice. It's sort of like sit back and let Jesus encourage you. I kind of like that. Amen. He's going to tell us that he's going to be with us and that we're going to be with him and he's going to send the Holy Spirit. All kinds of really cool comfort from Jesus. But let's remind ourselves of last week's lesson. We left what we call the Book of Signs, the first 12 chapters in which Jesus shows who he is through his miracles and saying about himself. And we've entered the book, but sometimes people call it the Book of the Passion, in which Jesus is only speaking with his disciples, with his apostles. He's in a room. In fact, there's about there's five chapters in a row where he's just talking to the apostles. The scene is what we know as the Last Supper. So last week, it says that he loved them to the end. He loved them fully to the end in that sense. And he loved them literally to the last possible moment. He was just out there loving them. How did he do that? How did he show that? By washing their feet. Right? And then he said, he showed another way he's going to love them. He says, I will be glorified very, very soon. I will be glorified. How? By dying on the cross. And he set us an example. And then he gave us a very, very famous passage. Probably I'd say the theme passage from last week was John 13, 34, and 35, where Jesus says, I have a new command for you. Love one another. And the apostles are saying, yeah, that's not new, Leviticus 19, verse 18, that's new. Oh, even as I have loved you, so you must love one another. So that was the challenge from last week. But this week, we're in John chapter 14. You know what I don't have? It's my Bible. Where did I set it down somewhere? Right there. Could I have my Bible, please? Kind of need that to read the Bible. You kind of have to. I don't have it all memorized. Thank you. Very good. Nope. Thank you. Yes. John 14, verses 1 through 4. Well, I could almost do it from memory. Trust in God. Trust also in me. My Father's house, there are many rooms. For not so, I wouldn't have told you. If I go there, never mind. I better do it the right way. Okay. Close. One Sabbath. Oops, that's Luke. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. So we're starting out with, do not let your hearts be troubled. Today's a day that God wants you to feel comforted. Even if you're in a really bad place and have been sinned big time. All right, today, God just wants you to feel comforted no matter what. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back. I will take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the place where I'm going. And of course, it turns out they didn't, but that's a whole other story. We'll read that in a minute. So Jesus is telling you this morning to believe in him. And by the way, many translations say trust in God. Trust also in me. So Jesus wants you today to simply trust in him. All right? And it's a command. He wants you to trust in him. He says, trust in God and trust also in me. And he's claiming deity here. So a good question for us this morning is, do you trust God? I sure hope you do. How do you trust him? In what ways do you trust him? When do you find yourself, yes, actually trusting in him? What things in your life do you trust him about? Is there any area in your life, honestly, where you are struggling to trust God? By the way, this morning it's not so much, all right, you need to stop and start trusting. It's more like, you know, comfort, right? This, the main message this morning is comfort. Just, please, just trust in him. So again, God is asking you through me this morning, do you trust him? And he's telling you to trust him. Jesus is not angry here. He's not, why don't you trust me? He's not, he's pleading with you emotionally. He wants you to trust him. He's offering you comfort. Then what he's going to do is he's going to give you several reasons why you should trust him. All right? For example, he says, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. And he says, I got a room for you. And this, from the Jewish culture, he's referring to the betrothal, to marriage and betrothal. Because the way Jewish marriages work typically is the family of the guy would go to the family of the girl and ask, would you accept this proposal for marriage? And if she said yes, then they're married, sort of. They would call it betrothed. But their level of being betrothed was really close to our level of being married, other than consummating the marriage. So then what the guy would do is he'd go back and he would build an addition on his father's house where they would live. Or possibly, if there was more land, he might build another house on the same property. So that's what they would do. So when Jesus says, in my Father's house there are many rooms, the Jewish audience is thinking about this whole thing about the bride and the groom and the groom. And basically what the groom would do is when the addition is built, when it's all done, then they go, they have the ceremony, she comes in and basically moves in with him. So God's inviting us. God says, I have a room for you. Or I'm preparing a room for you. So this morning, I want you to think about that room. Think about that room. Because there's a sense in which it's already there. Because once the betrothal happens, then they just go ahead and build it. But the plan is already there. It's sort of like we're married to God already, but not yet. We even saw that in Revelation 19, verse 9, that whole idea where, you know, there's the betrothal and all that. So God has a place prepared for you. So this morning, we need to spend some time thinking about what that place is like. Is it a place with a Super Nintendo version 47? Or is it a place with an amazing kitchen with all the amenities and all that sort of stuff and you just turn around and they're all there for you? Or maybe your room is, I know these are silly examples, but you know, maybe it's this tool room, you know, with all the latest electrical devices and the gizmos. Or maybe it's a room on the side of a mountain with the most gorgeous view of a lake and a river. Maybe that's what it is. Or maybe it's a room on a beachfront house. Mm-hmm. You know, just 5 steps down and you're on the beach. Or maybe it's just a room with a quiet place to read a book. I don't know what your picture of that room is like, but I know this, whatever your picture of that room is like, what God has in store for you is way better than that. Way, way better than that. In fact, I would take us to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Oh yeah, that's a pretty awesome mansion. You know? A lot of rooms in that mansion. But that's nothing compared to what God has for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. This passage may be somewhat familiar to y'all. Remember, Jesus says, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. And Jesus says, I'm going to go there, and I'm going to prepare a place for Katie. A room with her name on it. A room with Juan right there. Juan Martinez. Hopefully right next door. Juan Martinez Sr., hopefully. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. All right. However, it is written, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no human mind has conceived of the things God has prepared for those who love him. Jesus is comforting his disciples. He says, you know what? Trust me. He's the husband, the betrothed, saying to the one that is betrothed to him, I'm going to build a room. It's going to be a great room. And we're going to have this beautiful, amazing life together. That's something that God wants you to think about this morning. Let's go back to John chapter 14. No eye has seen, nor ear has heard. Now, probably most of you have read John 14 before, and you realize that the apostles struggle with this a little bit. You would think they would have gotten it, you know? These guys are kind of knuckleheads in certain ways here. So verse 5. So Thomas said to him, he's famously called Doubting Thomas, mainly because of this one particular situation. He says, Lord, we don't even know where you're going. So how could we possibly know this way that you're talking about? Jesus answered, and by the way, there are 7 I am statements, and here's I am statement number 6. I have that as I am statement number 6, 7, and 8, and there's 9 of them. All right. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. Then Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but rather it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe in me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe in the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing. They will do even greater than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. Wow, this is comfort. This is assurance. Yeah. Now, Thomas is not completely convinced. And, you know, intellectually, if I say, do you trust in God? Everybody in the room raise their hand. You know, we all raise our hand. But, you know, the question is, how's it going on the heart level here? And again, I'm not saying this to make you feel guilty this morning if you're not there. That's another sermon. This morning is, here's some reasons why you probably should be trusting God here. Jesus must have been pretty frustrated when Thomas said, you know, we don't even know where you're going. Because he's kind of told him a few times where he's going, hasn't he? So he says, look, I'm the way. All right? Thomas says, tell me the way. And Jesus says, I'm the way. I'm right here. Here's the way. Right? He He says, I am the way. All right, ego eimi. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Here we have I am statement number whatever, number 6. Jesus says, I'm the way. The way to where? Well, to heaven. Right? The way to eternal life with God. In fact, the early church, they weren't called the church. They weren't called Christians. They were the main thing they were called was the way. In Acts 9 verse 2, in Acts 9 19, in Acts 9, I'm sorry, Acts 19 verse 9, Acts 19 verse 23, Acts 22 verse 4, they were called the way. All right? Jesus says, I'm the way to live and I'm the way to God. I'm the Camino, as they say. The only way. Well, that's kind of exclusivistic, isn't it? I mean, you Christians are really judgmental. You're saying all these other ways are bogus? And the answer is, well, they don't take you there. And if they don't take you there, call it what you will. You're saying that Hindus are going to hell just because they're Hindus? Well, Jesus said, what did he say? I'm the way. And he said, no one comes to the Father except through me. So either Jesus is the way, and no one goes to the Father through him, or he's not the way. In which case, he's quite the arrogant liar or something like that. All right, so you're saying good people, just on their goodness, that alone, and they're not going to go to heaven because of being good people? I remember one time I was... There's a friend of mine who was a caregiver, and the guy she was caring for was dying, and he was very wealthy, and she asked me to come spend some time with him. He's an atheist. And so I spent a few hours with him talking to him, reading some scriptures, and he said to me, you know what? I'm the best person I've ever met.
What?
He says, I'm the best person that I know. And he wasn't kidding. And by the way, he was a really great guy. He really was, other than being kind of arrogant, you know, an atheist. But other than that, and I'm sorry, if Jesus is right, then this guy is going to have a little comeuppance on Judgment Day. So you could call it close-minded, but if you know another way, if you can suggest and get some evidence, like Jesus raised from the dead and all this kind of, that there is another way, please let me know. If you know another way to deal with the sin in our life, to take care of it and have it kind of wiped out so you're good to go with God, let me know about that way. I mean, it's like a disease. If there's only one way to cure the disease, what are you going to do? Look for another way? All right? If there's only one way to get a job, what are you going to do? You're going to do that thing. Because, and it's close-minded. I'll call it close-minded, but if you want a job, do that. If there's only one way to drive down the street, then guess what? You're going to drive one way. All right? Call it close-minded. Jesus is the only way. Period. Full stop. But on the, that's on the negative side, but on the positive side, he is the way. He's there. I got a way for you. Just follow me. Then he said, I'm the truth. He didn't say, I have truth. He didn't say, I offer truth. He didn't say, I'm a good source of truth. He didn't say, I offer truth. He said, I am the truth. That's kind of a deep saying, isn't it? The truth comes from Jesus, the way he lived, the things he said. But he was the physical embodiment of truth. For me, that's kind of a big thing. Because I'm this analytical, scientific, logical guy. And to me, I was attracted to Christianity. One of the, maybe even the principal reason is because it happens to be true. You know, when I figured out that Jesus was not kidding, that he actually was raised from the dead, and he said these things, like John 14. I said, okay, there you go. All right, what do you need to do here? And then Jesus is the final answer to every single important question. End of story. Jesus is the way. He's the only way, but he's the way. He's the truth, and he's also the life. We had a sermon, I think it was Malcolm's sermon, John 10, I think. Yes? Where he says, I give them life, right? Life to the full. And arguably, when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, arguably he's referencing back to John 11, where he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus, which is more comforting to you? That Jesus is the way to heaven, the way to eternal life, or that he is the truth, so you can feel comforted in knowing my journey to figure out the deal is right. Over, amen. Or is it because he is the life? In other words, he gives you life. So in verse 8, Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. Okay, Philip, weren't you paying attention? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I know you haven't read John 1:18 yet, because it won't be written for another 40 years, but when John writes it, he's going to say, you know, that Jesus revealed the Father. No one has ever seen God, but God, his only Son, is revealed into us. So I guess he hadn't read that one yet. It says, just trust in God. I think Philip wanted to see some big miracle, some big flashy event. And then he would believe. But Jesus said, Philip, trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. And I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Then he goes on, he claims deity in verse 9. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He says, it's interesting. In verse 10, he says, I don't speak on my own authority. That's kind of interesting. I'm speaking on the Father's authority, because that kind of changed. You know, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, right? Yeah. After Jesus was raised from the dead, he says, all authority has been given to me. That Jesus, in his humanity. Yeah, you might have to re-up that thing. Yeah, sorry about that.
Dead.
It's dead.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, my cell phone starting, his battery's starting to not last as long. Somebody else can step in on Sunday morning. That'd be great. All right, so Jesus, there's a sense in which he didn't have all authority when he became flesh, right? We talked about that last week and the week before. Says, and then he says to Bianca. And he says to Shane. He says, you're going to do better stuff than I'm doing. And Shane's there, I didn't raise anybody from the dead. I don't walk on water. What's he talking about? You're going to do greater things? I'm going to do greater things. Yes, you're going to do greater things than Jesus. You know why? Because you're going to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. The Jews, you know, 1% of all people. You got the other 99% covered, you know? I don't know. That may not be what he's thinking of, but something like that. You humble disciple will do greater, weightier works than Jesus Christ himself, which is to bring the gospel to the whole world, even to Lodi.
Come on, Lodi.
Lodi. I somewhere along the 99, yeah, near wherever. Yeah, okay. And then, you know, remember the theme is trust in God, trust also me. And then he says, ask God, ask me for anything. Mm-hmm. Now, if some person you never met who's clearly doesn't have much says, ask me for anything, you go, oh, okay, thanks. I have a son, rich billionaire asked me for anything, you go, okay, sure. Then God, the creator of the universe, says, ask me for anything. Yeah. Now, you could probably read in 1 John 5 if it's according to his will. So, you know, if it, you know, in James 4 if you ask with selfish motives. But you know what? This morning, we're not even going to bother to qualify. We just say, ask me for anything in the authority of Jesus. That's the reason we can be comforted, right? That's why we can trust in God and trust also in Him. You know, and even if we ask things that aren't according to His will, you know, that's okay too. He's going to say no, but that's okay. And He says, you can ask me anything. You know, we pray to God, but we can also pray to Jesus. Ask Jesus, pray to Jesus. Say, Jesus, you know, pray to the Father, pray to Jesus. Jesus, you know, you said ask, so I'm here, I'm asking right now. Okay, got it? Yeah. All right, 15 through 31. If you love me, keep my commands. By the way, he's going to say that three times. In the next, you know, four sentences, he's going to say, if you love me, obey my commands. Okay, so there is one challenge here. Mostly encouragement, but there is one challenge, which is, if you love me, obey my commands, right? Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Jim, for reminding me. There's the next slide, but I have to go to the next one. Okay, great. If you love me, you keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and He'll give you another advocate to help you to be with you forever. All right, we had some pretty good reasons for comfort today. One reason is because Jesus is preparing a room for you. All right? Another reason is because He is the way, the truth, and the life. But here's a third reason. All right? The Spirit of Truth, verse 17. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you, and He will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see Him anymore, but you will see Me, because you live, you also, because I live, you also will live. And when He's resurrected, they go, okay, now we get it. Okay, yeah. On that day, you will realize that I'm in the Father, and you are in Me, and I'm in you. Whoever has My commands and keeps them is the one who loves Me. That's the second time. The one who loves Me will be loved by My Father, and I too will love them and show Myself to them. Then Judas, the other one, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show Yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus says, because it's the passion story. It's not the signs. You know, that's that period there. Jesus replied, anyone who loves Me will obey My teaching. Third time. My Father will love them. We will come to them and we'll make our home with them. Anyone who does not love Me will not obey My teaching. These words you hear are not My own. They belong to the Father who sent Me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. You heard Me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you love Me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over Me, but He comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father, and I do exactly what My Father has commanded Me. Come now, let us leave. And He heads out to the Garden of Gethsemane, and you know what happens there. All right, so Jesus promised the Holy Spirit three times. First here in John 14, verse 15 through 18, and verse 26. Then in chapter 15, verse 26, again He says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And then again in John chapter 16, verse 7 through 15, He says, just you know, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He says, it's okay. It's good that I'm leaving you, because if I didn't leave you, I couldn't send the Holy Spirit. All right? So the sending of the Holy Spirit is based on love. And that love is shown by our obeying Him. How do you know you love God? Well, there's more than one way to know. There's not just one way to know. But definitely one way to know is Are you obeying him? Again, three times. Then after saying it three times, he says, if you don't obey me, then you don't love me, which is the same as saying, if you love me, you'll obey me. So four times. Yes. Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send another. The Greek word is aion, alon, another of the same kind. In other words, the Holy Spirit, who is God in you. He will be an advocate, a counselor, a paracleto, a call alongside. Remember the word encourage? The word for the Holy Spirit here is the encourager. The paracleto, the counselor, the called alongside one, the counselor. And Jan and I watch a bunch of BritBox movies, and they don't call them lawyers, they call them counselors.
Really?
Yeah, the counselor. All right? So you got an advocate, the Holy Spirit. And that's a pretty powerful lawyer. That's a pretty powerful advocate. He says to the apostles, he's been with you. I mean, some really cool stuff had happened in the last 3 years, you know? Some amazing stuff. Demons driven out. People, all kinds of lives changed. And he's been with you, but after I go, he's going to be in you. God is going to come and comfort. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. When rabbis died, the disciples of the rabbis, they were called orphans. They called them orphans because their mentor had died, their rabbi had died. He says, but I'm going to die and you're not going to be an orphan because it's going to be way better if I come and live with you in the form of the Holy Spirit than if I'm hanging out with you all the time. I'm not going to leave you alone. Jesus is comforting us. He's comforting us. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is going to call alongside. He is right there with you. He's advocating for you. The best lawyer there ever was is standing up in front of that prosecuting attorney and saying, innocent. I got you. We've not been orphaned. We've not been abandoned. He says, the Father is in me, and I am in you, and you are in me, and all this stuff. We're all in one another. There's that intimacy. And then the other Judas, he's a little confused. These apostles are pretty confused. So why aren't you showing yourself to the world? And Jesus says, well, you know what? He doesn't say it. I'm saying it for him. I did raise Lazarus from the dead. You know, and that's good enough. Nope. I'm just with you. I'm just with you. I raised Lazarus from the dead, did I not? The time is now past. Now I'm going to manifest myself just to y'all. I'm going to comfort you. And he says in verse 23, for the third time, if you love me, you'll obey me. And he says, besides, guess what? I obey the Father like super awesome perfectly, so there you go. In verse 26, he says again, verse 26, he says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. By the way, we're going to have another sermon about the Holy Spirit in a couple of weeks. We're going to come back here, talk about it some more, because Jesus wants you to feel comforted. He wants you to feel taken care of. Yes? And here we go. Shalom, he says. Verse 27. He says, shalom. My peace, I leave with you. That's that word, good old shalom. And the word shalom, it's a bigger word than the English word peace. It means fullness. It means satisfaction. It means fulfillment. It means right relationship. The word shalom is a big word. Right? Jesus is comforting us. And he's saying to Ryan, it's tough over there, but shalom. Shalom. Yeah. So he's back to reassuring us. So we have our theme verse for the day, our memory verse, if you will, is John 14:27. He says, in fact, you only have to memorize half a verse. Not even a whole verse, just half a verse. All right? It says in verse 27, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Okay? We started with the question is, do you trust God? And all of us trust Him some. You wouldn't be here if you didn't trust Him on some level. But Jesus wants you to leave today. Well, how about this? Trusted Him more than you did when you came in. How about that? We'll settle for that. Okay? He says, Shalom. My peace. I'm leaving you. How's He doing that? By sending us the Holy Spirit to live in us. So He says, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. That's where He's going to leave us. All right. That's, I like that picture. Maybe she's trusting too much. I don't know what's down below there. I hope there's a net to catch her or something like that, but you get the idea, right? Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. All right. And then He says, truly I tell you, Then He says, yeah, I will not say much more to you because you know what? I'm about to have a little deal with Judas and go to the cross. So to summarize, Jesus wants you to be comforted today, to be hecka comforted. Okay? Hecka comforted. Right? Isn't that a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I thought so. Yeah. Says, I'm preparing a place for you. I mean, He went away. He went away. Like the husband who's betrothed to the wife. I went away, but I'm making a place for you. It's going to be an awesome place. And He says, I am the way to that place. And besides that, top it off, I'm the truth and the life as well. And He said, and besides, even while I'm gone, you're going to do greater things than anything I ever did. That's sort of cool. And He says, if you ever get in trouble, ask anything in my name. And if it's according to my will, and you're not being a selfish dummy, you know, I'll give it to you. And He says, besides, I'm going to send the counselor, the comforter. And we're going to make our home with you. So that's our lesson for today.
Bless you.
So those guys can see it. Oh, yeah. It's hecka small. Yeah.
All right, everyone. Round of applause to John.